If this were a novel, the skeleton I'm about to relate would be a plot. But this is not a novel. It is an odyssey, recorded by a wanderer for herself, while I, a reluctant midwife at best, struggle to introduce another's tale to you, unseen auditors. I'll begin with what I know. I am a brilliant writer. I have a reputation. I have crafted, and a name upon which I bank. For several months I have had before me an untidy, uncanny volume, in parts disciplined, in parts unkempt, seeming fiction, or schizophrenia, teeming with artless sketches, diaristic trivia, and inspired discourse. It is the product of a young woman whom the publisher calls Felicity. She exists. I have met her. A graduate student in philosophy in the U.S. of all places, Felicity, or the Seeker as I call her, one summer's day decided that she would interrupt a boring life with a journey. Having selected Greece as her destination, and having squandered her fortnight in solitary pilgrimage to philosophic ruins, the boring girl spends the evening before her departure in a taverna, in a small town. As she notes in a neat hand in the journal's opening pages, Felicity found herself in the middle of a lively crowd of intimates, very alone, as always. A solitary observer, reverential, but insular. A glass of wine appears at her elbow, compliments, according to the waiter's pantomime, of a gleaming, rather glamorous woman, at whom Felicity had silently stared earlier, and who is now surrounded by well-wishers, several tables over. Urged, and clearly expected, to take wine in hand and join her benefactress, the painfully shy child, very timidly, and out of sheer politeness, complies. Felicity stammers out a greeting. They converse. Felicity is charmed. The well-wishers reappear. Wine is consumed. Children are dandled on the American knee. Food oozes and awes its way toward fueling dance. And the Greek sojourn is suddenly peopled. The laughing woman expresses delight at meeting a philosopher. It's been a while, she observes. She hands Felicity a card. Contact me if you need me, she says. The pleasures of meeting and kisses are exchanged with a copious crowd. And the next morning, an attentive bevy of Spiros whisked her luggage into the gleaming cab, while a riot of grandmothers force upon Felicity fragrant food sufficient for the Battle of Salamis, and villagers present her with mini acropoli and hand-wrought doilies, all to share with her family whom her new friends regret not to be gifting in person. Returning to her native soil and arid tillage thereof, Felicity remains boring and lonely. On a winter's night in early autumn, she rustles through her pack of Greek mementos, and out falls the card of the fascinating woman. No name is inscribed, no contact information emblazons the fine bond. Just a large question mark greets the puzzled girl. Felicity props the card beside her bed, starts a journal by recounting the companionable evening, and reflects upon the life she hasn't. Dispirited, the girl grabs the card, as if to inhale the good cheer of those bright moments. Her thumb presses on the dot below the crook of the interrogatory, and the seeker finds herself in a cave marvelous to describe, before the gleaming woman, who introduces herself as the retired oracle of Delphi, who declares herself anxious to converse with a philosopher. They do. It is marvelous. And Felicity awakens in postgraduate Dullesville the morning after. Their encounters continue by the same protocol, although sometimes they meet in a different era or in a different culture. Felicity does her best to record the outings and begins to live her life differently. She and the Oracle become friends, and such fascinating characters as Marguerite the Bat and Apollo the Messenger Publisher enrich the astonished seeker. As I warned you at the outset, dear auditor, if this were a novel, I would have given you the plot. But this isn't a novel. It's an epic buffo, a fool's journey. And it begins in media res, in the middle of things. It ends at home, all transfigured. The muses are invoked. In blessed openness, the reader is plunged into the midst, into a complex tale well and obliquely underway. Do you remember the Odyssey? Do you recall its first golden words? One arrives in the middle of an Olympian debate, where flawed and fractious deities broker human lives. As the Odyssey commences, the past hangs heavy, mysterious. The present is obscure, the future implicate. The reader reels. There are no pristine beginnings here. The hearer must give way to the tale, to its shape, and let the journey unfold as it will, from the middle, in the midst. I am in the midst of editing Felicity's document, for want of a better word, and those who dare to join us had best prepare to walk an epic way, humbly, with humor, in media res. We begin not on Olympus, but with a dance troupe. The invocation to the muse, well, it takes a while for Felicity to get there. After all, she's learning,